Well, thank you, Sister Clark. I just stand amazed sometime. The portion of scripture God laid on my heart, that song I did not know she would sing, carries the same message pretty well in it. I want you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament. We're going to ask you to go to the book of 1 Chronicles. Now, you get through 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and keep going to your right and get over there to 1 Chronicles. I want you to go to chapter 21. Chapter 21. I'm going to take a story out of the life of King David, something that happened to him, and hopefully do what she was just singing, and that is magnify the Lord and help you and I to trust Him more. That's all in the text here, if I can get it out, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I'm going to talk to you on the subject for the tape room up there that it is all in His hand. Amen? It says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, Joab was his captain of the army, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, all of them, from one end of the country to the other. Bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make His people 100 times so many more as they be, but my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? And why will He be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 70,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was an abomination to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore He smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech Thee, do away the iniquity of Thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence of the land, in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are His mercies. And let me not fall into the hand of man. I want you to understand something. David was a great king. David had sinned. And here we might think of this as not being a big thing, but Satan was behind it. He provoked David, and the whole thing it had to do with was causing David not to fully trust the Lord for protection, but wanting to see how big his army was. Think about it a little bit. He wanted to look at the physical force that he had. Now, an interesting thing is when you get over to the Psalms, Psalms 31, is a psalm written by David on this very occasion. And it's a heartfelt thing where you see how David felt on the inside about this thing. And you know a lot of psalms are that way. You know, we read the 23rd Psalm and we think, oh, a beautiful pasture and white sheep out there and a beautiful day and everything. No, that psalm was written by David in a time of trouble also. You ever notice in the 23rd Psalm where he talks about, you anointest my head in the presence of mine enemies? David was in trouble even then. And yet what we see in the Psalms is how David felt about this. We see the inside. And as we were to go back into 2 Samuel also, we would discover that to this text that we read right here, we find out that this was a bad time in David's life. He had willfully and presumptuously turned and sinned against God by not fully trusting him. And even his captain Joab despised him for it, because the captain Joab was a bloody man. He was a bad guy. He was a tough guy. He led the armies of Israel. He had blood on his hands, but he saw David making a mistake with God. And Satan was behind that thing. You know, it was a terrible thing. 70,000 people died in Israel after David made his choice, and he chose the pestilence, the sword of the Lord, instead of the enemy's hand. And yet it cost him a big crowd of his people, and it was a bad thing. And David got blamed for it. And when you read the Psalm in chapter 31, you discover that the neighbors were talking about him. The people were rebelling on him. It was a bad time that David is describing, but yet David says this in Psalms 31. He says, in spite of all of it, my times are in his hand. And I'm saying it's all in God's hand. David was saying, my valleys, my mountain peaks, my good times, my bad times, the heartache, the gossip about me, the slander, everything bad, but also everything good, I finally come to realize, trust him. It's in his hands. And folks, that's a good lesson for all of us today. We hear it in song, but sometimes we don't really believe it. David was blamed for everything. He was the leader, and rightfully so this time. He'd made a mistake. You know, the quarterback gets blamed for losing the game. You know that the preacher gets blamed if the church don't do well. The truth of the matter is, there's always a crowd out there to blame you. This time David was guilty, and the part that hurt him was the slander and the gossip and the folks wagging the tongue against him. But what hurt him the most was he's guilty before God. And that's what he's expressing then in the psalm. And yet he comes through it learning the lesson that my time's in God's hand. I'm going to trust him. And like Job said, I'll trust him though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And David said, I've learned it's all in God's hands. And trust him anyhow. Here's a lesson, folks, we can all benefit from. It's a lesson we can apply. We ought to apply it to our nation today. We all hurt for America. You folks, I know we're in the communication age, and many of you come to me with all the bad stuff going on, and I preach against it, maybe too much for sure, but the truth of the matter is I can't do much about it. You can't do much about it. We can pray. We can live right ourselves. We can vote right if we get a chance, but there's not a lot we can do about it except say, God, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. And trust God with it. I'd like to see our nation turn around. It's gotten so perverted in so many ways, and it's a long list. I go over it every now and then. I hate the fact that the homosexual agenda is in charge like it is. I hate seeing marriages, the truth of marriage being broken up, and the truth of the home being destroyed. I hate to see all this stuff. Hate to see our kids in preschool all the way up to college being brainwashed against God. I hate all that stuff, but I also recognize God hates it, and God sees it, and God knows about it. I'm going to trust God with it. Amen. It's in his hands. Amen? It's in his hands. We could go over a long list. Now, I'd like to see America rebound, and we all would. It's not impossible. David rebound. David bounced back. David admitted his sin. He repented of it. He got right with God. He came back, and he honorably died as the greatest king of Israel. He died in his own sickbed, and he had his own son take the throne. And I want to say that God may let America reap for her sins to the place she's destroyed, but he can if we would repent, turn around, and save us. And it is in his hands. No matter all the bad news, and I'm sure when I read the newspaper today, and catch some news maybe before I go to sleep tonight. It'll be piled on top of pile, and things getting worse and things getting worse. But I'm going to go to bed tonight and get a good night's sleep, because I won't say it's in God's hands. I'm going to turn it over to Him. Amen. I want to say to you, we can claim this promise personally also. Now, I know everybody wants to quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's okay. It was given to Israel at the time that Solomon was dedicating the temple, and it is a Jewish promise, but I want to say where the Lord says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, we can still do that in a spiritual level. Our nation could be saved if enough of God's people themselves got right and repented. But it's in God's hand. It's in their hand, and He could heal our land. But I want to say, on a personal basis, there's some things I can do. I can trust God. David had to get right down after it was all said and done. Even the captain of his army was against him. He'd done wrong. 70,000 people had died. He was hurting on the inside, but he came back personally to God. And that's what Psalms 31 is talking about. You know, you say, preacher, you understand bad things have happened to me. Uh-huh. But I want to say this. Don't judge it too fast. What you have called bad and seems bad at the minute may be God's hidden blessing down the road. He may turn it around. That's what happened with Joseph in the prison, right? When the boys sold him out and sold him into slavery, and when Potiphar's wife lied on him, and when he wound up in prison, yet you read where Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God turned the evil into good. He can still do that, folks. That's what He can do on a personal basis. What you say, well, that's really a bad thing happened. Well, maybe you don't know yet. You don't know how it's going to turn out yet. You don't know what it's going to be down the road. I remember years ago hearing the story of a preacher back when more travel maybe by trains than nowadays. But he got there in the train, just left him. And he was supposed to be at his meeting, and he just, how did I miss it? I mean, what happened here? Did he leave a little early? What happened? And he sat down and was despondent about it and talked to God about it. But the next morning when he got up, he found out where that same train had wrecked and killed a bunch of people. My wife and I flew into West Virginia to Stevens. We landed at the Huntington Airport. It's a narrow landway. It's a ravine, I call it, a deep gully on each side. The pilot better know what he's doing when he sets it down there. And a number of years ago, the Marshall College there, the ball team, was fixing to get on the plane, the whole team. And you remember the story, how that one of the mothers of one of the players called up the boy and said, I've got a premonition, something's wrong, God's warned me, don't get on that plane. And to the ridicule of all his fellow ball players and the coach, one boy didn't get on the plane. He's the only one that lived. See, God can take what looks like something bad and make something good out of it. What was intended for evil, He can make good out of. And that's what David is realizing here when he says, my times are in His hand. Anything, the good, the bad, it's all in God's hands. And the truth is, it's still true. And we need to learn that. The darkest hour, whatever you're going through, and I don't minimize that, and it's real, but don't give up on God. He may be doing something you don't understand yet, something that He sees. Be willing to trust it and put it in the Lord's hands anyway. I've seen that in our church through the years. Many of you have been here. We were talking to Brother Pasola this morning about those great years when he was with us. Things are going on just the same challenges, the same needs. Not a whole lot has changed. But the truth is, some of the darkest hours in our church ministry has turned out to be the greatest blessings. I could name so many, and many of you have been with me through those, and I don't want to get off on them, except to say this, there's been times it looked like defeat. I remember one time when I was starting a Christian school, some of the authorities, misguided as they were, and we got them straightened out. I remember when I got a letter from them, said, cease or desist, or you're going to jail. I didn't do any of it, including going to jail, praise God. But right then I had to put it in God's hands and say, I'm doing right, I'm going to keep doing right, and Lord, it's up to you. And I remember those days. And because of that fight and others like it, we have freedom in the state of Florida to have Christian schools. God made good out of it. We put it in His hands. We trusted Him. He made good out of it. And I could tell you other stories like that when it just looked pretty dark and the challenge was so big. When we went to restore the hotel to make the college out of it, I want to tell you something. I went to bed after I'd finally made that commitment and wondered, what did I do? And there were some dark times. and yet God made good out of it. Some things you have to trust even when you don't understand, when you can't see light at the end of the tunnel. And whatever you're going through personally in your life, apply what I'm talking to you about. This was a dark time in David's life. It was a scary time. And yet, as you read in the Psalms, he said, my times are in your hand. All of it, the good and the bad. It's right there. And I've seen that through the struggles of the ministry many, many times. I've seen us try to raise offerings when it was a do or die situation, looked like. I've seen some challenges which were turned into be fights, but God made good out of it for His cause. I guess the whole thing is what David said in the psalm over there. He said over there to trust. You start off in Psalms 31, it says, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. If you're a saved believer trying to serve God, one big lesson you need to learn is trust God. Trust God. That's hard on the flesh, but it's the answer. It's the answer. It's the victory to trust the Lord. You know, my own personal life, I was raised poor, and we always joke about, you know, everybody was poor. Somebody said poor and didn't know it. I said I was poor and didn't know it. There was just enough folks around had it better. I could see that. But, you know, I'm be honest with you now. I've thought about this. I've thought about this. If I could go back, starting when? Third grade, high school, whatever. If I could go back during those days when a dollar looked mighty big, when it was awful hard to get, going back to being around this town when we just didn't have anything and no jobs available, that sort of thing. But I go back and think about that, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've thought it through now. See, I'm getting on near the other end. My watch is about over, and I got a long trail to look back on. And I'm going to be honest as I can with you. I really wouldn't change it. Now, listen to me. You say, would it have been better when you graduated high school to be able to go to college? I remember my mother with tears in her eyes because my dad had a college education, but we were too poor for me to go to college. And she came with tears in her eye. And that little old house is located right there behind the hotel, still standing where we live. And she come with tears in her eyes, we can't send you to college. Of course, being that age, I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to do a lot of things, but that was not on my list. But you know what? I went and got a job, and I probably learned more working and earning and facing responsibility and learning duty and right things. I don't know that any college could have taught me what I got. And I'll tell you something, none of it wasted. Later in life, including pastoring this church, there's not been a thing I experienced during those years, but what at one time or another came in handy and was something I could go back and latch my brain onto and say, I know about that. I can do that. And I'm talking about even in the ministry of this church. Sometimes folks come in. I remember a guy come in one time, picked up one of our bulletins, and he saw the great offering we had that week, whatever it was. He said, I could preach too for that much money. Rascal, but anyway. People don't understand. They don't understand. They think if I can get up here and fill up 30 minutes with words, that's all I got to do every week. Oh, my friend, you don't know. What's involved? The work, the job, the responsibility, all of that business that goes into it. But I want to tell you something. God was not wasting my time when I was 13. He wasn't wasting my time when I was 17 or 20 or 21. He was saying, one day you're going to reach back and get some of this and use it for the right reason. I believe that with all my heart. I believe my times is in his hand. David said everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever's in God's hands, I trust him with it. Satan had tricked him and caused him to do the wrong thing, but David went to God with it and he overcame it. And he came out the other side, on the positive side of it, amen? You know, we Christians, we're good at singing a lot of things we don't live up to, professing a lot of things we don't live up to. We sing the song around here, and rightfully so, I surrender all, but we don't. But we don't. But if you can learn to the place, you can surrender all of it to trust God with it, to let it be in his hands. It'll be a victory time in your life. We can hopefully quote Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. But do we believe it? That's talking about putting it all in his hands. It's hurting right now. Heartbreak right now. Health, whatever. Still God's in charge. You say, well, I trusted God and the baby died anyway. I trusted God and this bad thing happened anyway. Listen, if it was God's will, then that was the best. That was the best. You still put it in his hands. You still trust him with it all. Amen. Let me tell you, be faithful. See the devil like he tripped up David. David didn't quit on God. The devil trips you and us up to get us to quit on God, to become unfaithful. Old Queen Elizabeth has said, one of the quotes of I read back in the days of her reign in London, England. She asked a wealthy merchant, a wealthy businessman that had a bunch of merchant ships, and she asked him to do something for the country, for England. And he said, if I do that for your kingdom, who will take care of my business while I'm doing that? She said, you take care of the kingdom's business and your business will be taken care of. I want to tell you, when you do it for God, you take care of his business, he'll take care of yours. You can trust him with it. You can put it in his hands. And to be faithful to God anyhow, whether the sun is shining or whether it's raining, whether we're having a rainy Sunday or a bright one, it's still in God's hands, amen? Folks, that's not just theory. It's something you really do need to get a hold of, and it's something that'll bless your Christian life and help you to have peace when others are losing their minds over something you can trust God, even though you don't understand for sure how it's going to turn out. You can leave it up to the Lord. You know, we can put this lesson, this truth, not only to ourselves personally, we can claim it for the future. For the future. You know where we fear the most is what's coming tomorrow. We fear the future. That's human nature. But if we trust God, he'll sure take care of that. Amen. Old John Wesley, the great old preacher, said, I'd soon sin as worry. Now, what he was saying is, when I'm worrying, I'm not believing God enough. When I'm worrying, I'm not putting my stuff in his hand. I'm not trusting him enough. And that's a challenge for all of us. And we fear the future more than anything else. But let me say this. Look through the Bible. Did God take care of his servants? You say, well, some of them were martyred, but God was in that too. Even the bad stuff that happened. You know what I like, though, is when I see some of them like David, they got hit, but it didn't knock them off the track. Peter denied the Lord, but he came back, right? And the truth is, we can come back with the Lord if we just trust him. It's in his hands. Let him handle it. And you go all the way from Joseph in Genesis to John the Revelator, isolated on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation. God was still in it, what they were doing. The old Roman king thought he was doing bad by putting John on the Isle of Patmos out there. But God had a plan, and we got the book of Revelation out of that. I mean, just trust God anyhow. Something bad happened to you, it may yet turn out to be good. You know, some of us, we like to tell the old stories. We didn't like to live through them too much. But we like to tell them because now we can sign a victory note, right? I tell a lot of them, and I enjoy realizing what God did. I saw him come through. At the time I was in it, it didn't look so good. It didn't feel so good. But God, now I can brag on him. Now I can look back. I trusted him anyway. You think about it. Job in the end had more than he ever had taken from him in the beginning. He trusted God anyhow. And I think in this turbulent time that we live in, we need to learn this lesson. David was restored, died in bed, son on the throne. And I want to say to you, you and I can learn from that. I guess, like anybody else, I have some fears of the future. If I shared them with you, you wouldn't tell nobody, would you? Probably not. Over 100 piece anyway. But you know what I fear for in the future? I fear about, for a lot of you that make up this church, if Jesus don't come and he lets me look down, I'm fearing who's going to be faithful and who's not. I'm fearing whether the church will still be here for my grandkids' kids if Jesus don't come or not. Sure, I guess I have some fears as a preacher. One fear I've always tried to be careful about, I don't want to stand before God with the blood on my hands of people I didn't tell about Jesus. If you'll notice, including right now, every sermon I preach from this pulpit, I wind up at the end telling somebody how Jesus loved them and died for them and paid for their sins and shed his innocent blood that they could have a free ticket to heaven, because I don't want to face God and he say, you know, so-and-so came to church that Sunday and you ripped on the politicians and other things, but you didn't tell them about me. No, no, no. I don't face that. I want to tell you today, the reason this building's here, the reason this preacher's here, the reason God gave his word is to tell you that Jesus loved you, paid for your sins. You can believe on him and you can be saved. And all around you, people are sitting around that knew the Lord because they heard that same message and accepted Christ as their Savior. And I want to say your salvation is in his hands if you'll take it from him. He's the one paid for your sins. You can't join enough churches to go to heaven. You can't get baptized enough times to go to heaven. But you can receive Jesus Christ one time in your heart and have your name written in his book. It says in his hands. Your salvation's in his hands, but you got to be willing to take it. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's you. That's you in Radio Land, that's you here in the building. How many times have you heard that? But you're worried about this, that, and the other. And the most important thing is that the Lord may have even brought a hardship in your life to get you to look to him and trust him instead of your own self. You know, old preacher died. I read this story. Old preacher died in a town where he preached a long time. And he preached the gospel. He'd been faithful. And a young preacher was helping in the funeral. And he got up to the town because it's an amazing thing how you die, more folks come. I'll probably have a bigger funeral crowd than this one this morning. Some will come from all kind of motives. Bless God, he's not going to bother us anymore. Yeah, I can imagine all kind of things. With all joking aside, that young preacher got up and he warned that crowd that showed up. He said, I want you to take warning. God has pulled away and removed a great blockade on your way to hell. He was saying the old preacher warned you. He told you how to be saved, and now you won't hear him anymore. Now, if you want to charge straight on into the pit, you can. You won't be bothered by somebody trying to keep you from your own self-destruction. I want to say to you, if the day comes in Haines City and you're reading the paper, Pastor Carter's dead. Well, I'll be more alive. You know that. But it will be true. It will be true. somebody I've been trying to keep out of hell, I'll not any longer be able to try. It'll be a straight road. I ask you this morning, how about yourself? Can you put yourself in his hands? Can you trust him? Every good thing, every bad thing in his hands, and trust him anyway. Your times, David said in Psalms 31, my times are in his hand. All the times, good times, bad times, in his hands. So are yours. This morning you can see him with outstretched hands begging you to come and receive his son. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll no wise cast you out. It's your choice this morning. Will you receive him? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Father, I've preached somewhat to believers also today, maybe more than the lost. I pray you'd help myself and others to just trust you with all of it. Put it all in your hands. Be willing to know that you can make good out of bad. And help us, Father, to point others. Maybe the things in their life, even the bad things they would enumerate, maybe those things are the very things you've used to get them to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to be eternally saved instead of forever lost. Bless the invitation, Father, I pray this morning. Help them to come that need to come, those that need to be saved, those even Christians that need to say, Lord, forgive me for doubting you, and help me to trust you. Pray you'd have your way now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing. We invite you to come. Whatever God's asked you to do, you come as we sing. Just I.